I'm Keith Wooden, and this is Story Mosaics. Hey, we're so glad you're joining in with us today. Hey, this is the very beginning of a new year, and I don't know what you're thinking, but I'm kind of leaning into this new year with some anticipation. I hope it's not trepidation as well, but I'm looking forward to what this new year has for all of us. And for some of us, we're just climbing our way out of Christmas as well, and that's a little bit difficult some days, isn't it? Just trying to figure out where to put things, what to pack away, what to throw away. Hey, one of the things we always do, my wife and I do this every year. We say, we're just not going to put all of this back in the attic. We're going to purge some of it. And every year we bring about 12 boxes or totes out of the attic, put them up around the house, and she decorates the house so beautifully at Christmas time. I have to admit, I love it. And this past year, we did it a little bit earlier so we could just enjoy it for a little bit longer. But now that we're packing it away, I'm going, okay, how much are we going to just get rid of? And every year we end up with more totes in the attic than the previous year. So I don't know what's going to happen this one, but I'm hoping we don't have quite so many out up there. And maybe you're having the same ideas about what you're going to pack away. But hey, we're starting a new year here on Story Mosaics as well. And as I've promised, every first Tuesday, we just tell a story. Usually it's a little bit on the lighter side, but sometimes they're also pretty thought-provoking along the way as well. Then the second Tuesday, we do some interviewing of people who have some stories that need to be told, and they're stories of life transformations that, wow, they just are so impactful. And then on the third Tuesday, we take that time and we tell your stories. And we are still looking for more of you to come forward and say, hey, okay, I've got a story to tell on Story Mosaics. And we had a great time of listening to some of your stories up at Christmas time on Christmas Eve. Thank you so much for that. It was a great time just to listen to what you had to say and something that was your most memorable Christmas. And then, so on that fourth, then we help you out on how to tell a good story. And whether that's just one that's around the kitchen table, or maybe it's where you're going to tell a story at a function, maybe it's at a business function, or maybe it's just at a wedding, or maybe you've got a eulogy to do and you want to do that well. We want to help coach you through that. And part of that is by what we do there on Story Mosaics on the fourth week of our podcast. And then you can always send your stories to us on storymosaics.com, where it says you can send those for free. We'll give you immediate feedback and let you know how you're doing on telling your stories. So anyway, I don't know whether any of you got some new furniture, but some of you probably did at Christmas time. And now you're out with the old and in with the new. And I have a story that tells you how we went through that same transition a few years ago. You see, we were getting a new couch, and that meant that the old couch had to be moved to a different location. It had too much sentimental value, and also we needed it because it was a hide-a-bed, but it needed to go upstairs, and so the furniture needed to be rearranged. And I have to tell you, that old couch had been through a lot. Let me tell you, just to date it for you, it was this blue and green and brown plaid hide-a-bed. Oh man, is that horrendous in my mind now. And it had all the odors of many years of use. And not only that, my son was one that had a lot of mock battles with the back of it with a sword. He was always carrying a sword, and he'd poke it in the back of the couch there, just the way it was arranged in our living room there. And so there were many, many different holes in it. But sentiment would not allow it to be jettisoned. And we took the tattered piece and we just tried to figure out where it would go. And so we settled on the fact that it needed to go upstairs into a little loft area that we had up there, 13 steps up to the second floor. No small feat for two healthy men, but that hide-a-bed was going to be, well, I was going to do it solo. Now, my neighbor had many times, Doug had said, hey, I'll help you anytime you need any help down at the house. Just let me know. He was the kind of guy that was always eager to help people. But you know what? My dad had always had one of these sayings. I think he took it from the ancient Greek engineer Archimedes. Give me a lever long enough and a fulcrum strong enough, and I will move the heavens. Man, that sounds great. My dad had all kinds of sayings like that, and he would repeat them ad infinitum. I mean, over and over and over and over again, but they were all good. Now that Dad's gone, I go back and I rehearse those, and I have to tell you, I probably tell them to my kids now. But my dad used to say that if you just find the balance point, the fulcrum, you can move anything. And so I was pretty sure that I could move that height of bed. In fact, I had a plan inside my head. So here was the plan. I was going to put it upright, standing on the arm. I was going to throw a rope around that. Then I was going to put the rope around my chest, just underneath my arms, tie it tight. And then I was going to use my back as the fulcrum to the height of bed. What do you think? It's going to work? It can't be that hard. I took the cushions off just so that it wouldn't add extra weight. And then here we go. I tossed the rope around it, used my body as the fulcrum, and I bent over, and in one fluid motion, the height of bed rose up off the floor. Now, I felt a little bit like a turtle with an overgrown shell, but my pride was intact. I was going to be able to move the height of bed up the stairs. My feet were my only scenery, and I made my way over to the foot of the staircase. I took the first tentative step. Wow, it's working. Then a second tentative step. But at this point, I noticed something. My eyes were only inches from the stairway. My face was almost flush with the crown of the stair. And suddenly I thought about something. If this thing slips off my back, it's going to crash down through the front door. So I requested some help from a family member whose name will not be revealed at the risk of my own life. And I asked that family member if they would not come over and steady the couch on my back. I want to emphasize these words, steady the couch on my back. You see, that couch was perfectly balanced, and any interference with that balance would create morbidity for me. Using both hands, I pushed my way up a little bit, now up to the third step. She must have thought at that moment I was losing control. To steady the load, she lifted on the rear of the couch, and suddenly my face hit the carpeted step with this cartilage-crunching thud. I gasped for air and smelled the mixture of blood and carpet, new carpet, by the way. And as I pushed myself up, I screamed, "My face is in the carpet." Translated, that is, my face is in the carpet. Using both hands, I pushed away from the step, gaining just a little bit of breathing room, and let back down. I started to take another step, but somehow the rising of the couch must have given her an alarm inside of her head. And with superhuman strength and something right out of Guardians of the Galaxy, she lifted with all of her might, mustering superhuman strength and what now became something akin to abuse, lifted forcefully again on the rear of the couch, and again my face plowed into the step. A vision swept over me. What if she lets go now? I envisioned myself flying through the space toward the glass front door. I could hear the final words of my life. I told you, you should not do this. I would hear the angels snickering as I walked through the gates of heaven, stooped over still, by the way, and they said he was carrying a hide-a-bed up the stairs by himself. A broken man with only sanity that I could muster, I calmly pleaded, "Could you go call Doug?" I felt the pressure release from the back of the hide-a-bed, and I watched as my helper's feet walked away. Doug arrived just a few short moments later, and we completed the job, and I collapsed on the hide-a-bed on the second floor, and a verse came to my mind. Carry each other's burdens. Well, I wish I had thought about that when I started up the stairs. I gotta ask you a silly question. Why is it that men are so obstinate that we would rather act like we are islands of self-sufficiency than being willing just to ask for a little bit of help? With a little help, we could conquer daunting tasks. We would not have to find ourselves crushed in the carpet. A little advice along the way and we could find a better way. A little encouragement and we could gain strength and press on. A little strength borrowed from one another and we could shoulder twice the load. It doesn't matter if it's a couch or a crisis. It doesn't matter whether it's emotions or the assistance we need. It doesn't matter whether it's just a little parenting advice along the way. Each of us needs a little leverage to conquer this world. And it only takes 5 words. Can you help me a little? I, for one, find it very difficult to say, I need your help. I don't know why that's so hard. I know some people that whenever they're about to do anything, they always just drag someone along with them, and they seem to form deep friendships in those moments where they help one another and they encourage one another. You see, I believe that we are created for community. And when we get together with one another and we just ask for a little help, the fact is we are creating community in those moments. In fact, I have found something very, very interesting. Is that when we ask for help, it forges deeper friendships. Did you hear that? It forges deeper friendships when we will just ask for a little bit of help. In fact, not only were we created for community, but when we ask for help, we walk together. And in those moments when we walk together, we defeat loneliness in our lives. And I think there is nothing more epidemic in our society today than the epidemic of loneliness. And maybe it's just saying, hey, can you come over and fix a meal with me? Or maybe it's just saying, hey, can you help me out with a project I'm doing? Or maybe somebody has an ability that you don't have. Hey, I've always wanted to paint. Would you come teach me how to paint? Or would you come teach me how to cook something in particular? Whatever the case may be, when we ask somebody to come walk with us just for a few moments, it defeats loneliness. I love this verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It's in verses 26 and 30 and 31 in the Message. When you get together, be prepared with something useful to share with one another. Remember a song, teach a lesson, share a story, lead in a prayer, provide an insight, take your turn with no one else taking over, no one person saying it all. This is the way we can learn from each other. And not only do we gain something when we work together, but we also, when we walk together, but we gain something when we work together. I know it goes without saying, but it cuts down on the fatigue of the project. But in a weird sort of way, because it's not just the fatigue by splitting the load. When you work together in community together, suddenly you realize that, man, that job went fast, or it just felt lighter in the process. The Bible also says two people are better than one because they get more done by working together. God has made us, it says in Ephesians, God has made us for good works, and he's planned those out in advance for us. Wow, what a moment it would be if we just take a second and avoid the rhinoplasty that I probably need at this moment because of something that had to be fixed in my nose, that deviated septum or something. But if we just take a moment to work with one another, hey, do us a favor always. Go out there and like us on Facebook, follow us, and make sure you're telling others about storymosaics.com. It's just a great opportunity for us to tell stories together and put a smile sometimes on one another's faces. Hey, thanks for joining us today.